AMP Radio.
Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, brought to you by Lavassi International. Lavassi International is bringing masculine designs to your bathroom. Lavassi is the exclusive retailer of handcrafted ceramic sink, combining a handmade manufacturing process with an industrial finish. If you're looking for something different, check out their tribal design, spike design, or puzzle design, just to name a few. Lavassi International, lavassi.co.uk. Let me spell that for you. LOVASI.co.uk. Now shipping to the United States of America and Canada. Use the code word FANGOS to receive 25% off any purchase. Now back to the show.
AMP Radio.
This chamber has no windows and no doors, which offers you this chilling challenge: to find a way out. Of course, there's always my way.
AMP Radio.
And here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are
Direct from the AMP Radio Internet Headquarters. This is the show that you're listening to, like to call Smack My Pizza. This one is the UFC Fight Night 119 Machida versus Brunson Edition. Of course, this fight is coming at us live and direct from São Paulo, Brazil, on October 28th, 2017. Tonight on the show, we're going to go obviously into the fight card. We're going to do our picks as usual. And of course, we're going to give you all that spotlight fight of the night. Everyone has their own unique spotlight fight of the night. All right, sorry, Tony. I guess the sound was not great there. I apologize. I will kiss the mic. Also, we're going to get into, at the end of the show, some news and notes from this week in MMA. We're going to wrap up last week's show. Going to kind of touch on some of the topics we touched on last week, but don't worry. There were two of us were not on Sunday's show, so we are going to give our opinions on some of the pertinent information or the news in MMA today. Now let's go ahead and meet the hosts coming at us live and direct from the beautiful beaches of North Carolina. You know her, you love her. Pam from North Carolina.
He rubs the lotion on its skin or else gets the hose again.
Oh my God, that makes me laugh every time. Hi, everybody. We missed you and Marco on Sunday. We had so much fun. But did you all rub lotion on your weenus?
Oh, wow. No, I have not rubbed any lotion on any parts of my body yet this evening, Pam, but maybe a little bit later. Yes, you guys did great on Sunday. I was so impressed with Nick, really. Wasn't he?
He was a lot of fun. It's so funny because he's such a gentle giant. I was expecting him to be like all rowdy and crazy. And he's so mellow. So it was, and he was just super nice. It was so much fun. It was really fun. I hate that y'all missed it.
Well, we heard it on the podcast. Don't worry, we were all there in spirit as well. Now let's bring in the second host. You've heard a different voice bringing this show in today. Don't worry, we've got the DJ here. He's not in his PJs, but he is coming to you live and direct from the mean streets of Danville, California. Let's bring him in right now. DJ Tony.
What's up, train by day?
AMP Radio.
Podcast by night, all day. I'm not impressed by your performance.
AMP Radio.
Don't be scared, homie.
Don't be scared, homie. What's up, guys? Coming at ya.
The Big Moss Man coming at us live and direct. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Prados, and the beautiful Pam, and of course, the star of the show, Prados.
Let's bring him in.
Get out.
Rico, Marco from Waco, brother. Let's bring him in.
Marco from Waco Road, pasta lato della Vicara Tucana, Tony with an awesome interview of the Vanilla Gorilla on Sunday. Really cool interview, love it.
Yeah, they did a really good job.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
Yeah, great job.
I was really impressed by that performance. Yes.
Yeah, it was definitely good. I unfortunately I had to miss that program. I always hate missing programs, but as we say sometimes on this show, life gets in the way. But let's go ahead and get into this, guys. Let's start getting into the card. Because we've got 11 weeks of fights that we are going to be with each other, and of course this is the second of said 11 weeks, UFC Fight Night 119 from São Paulo, Brazil. As I mentioned, Derek Brunson, number 7 ranked, Derek Brunson facing the big man himself, coming back off of suspension, Lyoto the Dragon Machida, and of course Derek Brunson coming at us at a 17-5 record and a minus 170. I guess Tony, he's the favorite this evening. This is going to be on Saturday, and of course, Lyoto Machida. Man, what do we have to say about Lyoto Machida coming off of a 2-year suspension, coming off of two big losses, of course, to two of the big guys in the division, and of course, he's coming at us at a plus 150. DJ Tony, let's start with you and your picks on Derek Brunson versus Lyoto Machida.
I'm going first, Prado. All right, let's hit it. Gosh. I'll tell you what, Prado, and you guys know this. I love any shout out, of course, to the one and only Rick Budo, but I love any karate style. Interestingly enough, Prados, this 2-year suspension and more important, back-to-back losses, right? Losing to Yoel Romero, he looked quick but lost brutally, right? And of course, Machida has never lost 3 in a row. Prados, I'm going with the underdog here at a plus 150. I'm going with the 39-year-old. This is going to be the battle of the almost 40-year-old this card, Prados. I'm going to with the one and only Lyoto Machida. And I'm going with, how about late second round TKO via a kick to the head? How do you like that?
Well, that sounds like it was a very in-depth breakdown there, Tony. That's a very unique and in-depth pick, kick to the head. And yes, I chose you to go first because this is the main event. And of course, as we know, the next person that I'm going to throw to is a very big rising star, and of course it's the main event, so I wanted to get the star of the show to give his comment last on the main event, so that's why I chose you first on this one, brother. So let's go to the very big rising star. People are tuning in to hear Pam. They're telling her that she's a big star coming up. Pam, let's throw you.
Really? I thought like somebody special was coming on the show. It's like, well, damn, who's that?
Hey, I got to sell.
I was all excited. I thought it was like Nate Diaz or something. I thought y'all were going to surprise me. But
it must be the voodoo, right?
Must be. You know what? Okay, so I was doing this. And you know what? I was doing this fight card, the picks that we chose. And a lot of these are really hard. I mean, it's just hard to choose between these fighters. Lyoto Machida is coming off of this two-year suspension. And, you know, he's got that karate background and unorthodox stance, black belt in Shotokan karate, black belt in jiu-jitsu, two-time Brazilian karate champion. And he actually studied sumo. I didn't know if you all knew that, but he actually trained in a little bit of sumo. But, you know, and then you've got versus Derek Brunson. But what I was looking at, I know Lyoto, you know, he's always been one of my favorites. The Dragon has always been one of my favorites. But Derek Brunson, he's got a 77-inch reach, and his legs are 1 inch longer. He has 10 KOs versus Machida's 9 KOs. And Machida is actually a decisionator as well. Derek Brunson, his last 5 wins are all first-round TKOs. He was on a 5-win streak before losses to Silva and Whitaker, and his loss to Silva was even questionable at that. Blue belt, 3-time Division II All-American wrestler. I'm going to go with him. I'm going to go with Derek Brunson also because he's from Wilmington, representing the Port City. Mm-hmm. And I know, right? He fights out of Jackson Wink, which, you know, they're doing a good job with their fighters out there. But I'm going with Derek Brunson, and I am going to go with, I'm going to say a second round TKO for me.
Are you going by head kick as well, Pam, as Tony is going by?
No, you know what? I don't think I'm going to go by head kick. He's got the speed, he's got the power, he's got that wrestling background. I think I'm going to go body shot. Because you know what?
Pan.
The one thing that I was just kind of a little bit got creeped out with was the urine therapy. Oh, that's just yucky to me.
Correct the mundo.
Right?
That's a very interesting choice of techniques. Yes, the urine drinking. Okay, so let's go move on quickly to thank you, Brian Kellen. Let's move on quickly to the star of the show. Let's get Marco from Waco in here, because I saved you for last, Marco, because I knew that you would have all the pertinent information again about Derek Brunson and Lyoto Machida. Come on, break this down like a pro that you are.
Well, first of all, when it comes to the 11 wins that are fighting, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, brother. So, you know, we got to pace ourselves. I'm looking forward for the return of the Dragon, but I got a lot of questions. First of all, you know, that 2-year suspension for 7 Keto, by the way. 7 Keto, a product that you can get on GNC over the counter. And then you got people like Joel Romero that tested positive for like an anabolic steroid. But, because it was a tainted supplement, he got less than a year. He got 6 months. So I don't understand those regulations with USADA. 7 Keto is not a quote-unquote, you know, a steroid performance. Why did she get 2 years, man? I still scratch my head about that. All that said, if this was Lyoto Machida of 5 years ago, 6 years ago, it wouldn't even be a pick. I would say Machida all day. But I'm concerned with him being out for 2 years. I'm concerned that his last 2 losses were by, you know, stoppages. Actually, the last 3 losses, because he also lost to Wyman. He lost a decision to Wyman, but, you know, he still got put on him. You know, that was an awesome fight, but he took a lot of damage on that. And then, of course, he got knocked out by Rockhold and then Romero. Not a good look, man. He's 39. He's in the wrong end of the kid. He's almost 40 years old. And we don't know what Machida we're going to get, man. Brunson is not old, but he's not young either. But he's still the better athlete right now. And he's the more powerful athlete. This is a 5-round fight. And a little concerned with that with Brunson, because we haven't really seen him in a 5-rounder. I mean, he's been scheduled for 5 rounds before, but never gone the distance. He lost to Anderson Silva, but a lot of people saw he won the fight. Whitaker, not Chemo, losing to Whitaker. He's the interim champ. So, I don't know, man. I got the feeling that Machida is not going to have the same timing, the same reflexes. If he makes it past the 3rd round, maybe the fight is going to go his way because he got more experience on 5-rounders, and he might be able to find his timing, you know, brush off all that rust, that case rust. But I'm feeling Bronson, with his athleticism and his power, is going to be able to clip Machida, put him in a compromising situation. And we have seen Machida being really chinny in his last two fights. I'm picking Bronson, and I'm going to pick him by TKO later in the second round via ground and pound. One way or another, Bronson is going to get on top, and he's going to start punishing Machida. And the referees going to have no option but to pull Bronson off. And, you know, Bronson is going to get a TKO win over the Dragon, brother. So I'm going to pick up Derek Bronson.
Yeah, Marco, I have to definitely agree with all of what you've just said there. The suspension itself is very, very questionable. Apparently, you can buy the substance that Machida tested for in your grocery store. So it's very, very odd that, yeah, exactly, that it's very odd that not only would he get a suspension, but a very large suspension. And of course, I believe, Marco, 2 years ago, we were in the infant stage of USADA, and perhaps the rules and regulations have been ironed out a little bit more now. I don't know about it. Anyways, let's move along. This is not what we want to be talking about right now. We want to talk about the fight card. I'm very concerned, Marco, about Lyoto Machida coming back. Lyoto Machida being off for 2 years. Derek Bronson, of course, as you had mentioned, coming off of two losses before his last win. And, of course, his last win against Daniel Kelly, of course, the TKO KO. But again, I'm very concerned about him as well. I don't know what 2 years off is going to do. I mean, we're looking at a 39-year-old Lyoto Machida now, I believe. So that's very questionable. And again, of course, Derek, as you mentioned, Derek Bronson, if he can keep his head against with him, he is very dangerous. We saw him, you know, overreact in the Whitaker fight, but he seems to be getting that kind of railed in a little bit in his last fight. So I am also going to go with you. I'm going to go with Derek Bronson. I think it's going to happen exactly the same way that you mentioned, Marco. The ref is going to have to pull him off Machida. We have seen that before, as you mentioned. I go second round TKO KO as well. Okay, let's move right along. The next fight on the card is very, very interesting, because if you listened to any of the MMA hour in 10,000 minutes this Monday, you heard the opponent of Damian Maia, Colby Covington, running his mouth a bit, and I'm very concerned for this guy's health right now. I mean, I don't know if he's going to make it out of Brazil. I jest. That was said in a joking manner. But let's go ahead and throw to the shining star from North Carolina herself.
Oh.
Hampton, North Carolina.
Man. Why do you give me... I've been running around looking for my tablet because I need to pull up Twitter on my tablet, and I just found it. So, okay, I'm good now. Well, you know what? This fight, oh my gosh, this fight was crazy. I took my notes to work with me so I could sit there and look at it, and kind of try to figure out what's going to happen. Okay, so you've got number three, Damian Maia, and you've got chaos, Colby Covington, you know, number seven, running his mouth. I mean, just crazy, trying to get under Maya's skin, but it's not working because Damian Maia just he gives no shit. So you're looking at Colby Covington, who's going to try to knock out the one man who's not been knocked out since 2009. And then you're looking at Damian Maia, who's going to try to submit Colby, whose only loss has been by submission. I'm looking at Damian Maia's last fight. What did he have, like 22 takedown attempts? Some crazy... Was it that much?
I think you're correct. With it was like 22
okay.
Attempted.
Yeah, it was like he set the record for takedown attempts. Now, do I think Colby Covington? I think he's great. He's upcoming. He's young. He's got great cardio, great wrestling. But you know, they're in Brazil, and I'm just gonna go. I'm just thinking Damian Maia is going to win only because he beat Masvidal, who I don't think Colby can beat Masvidal. The people that he has lost to, Woodley, Rory, Jake Shields, Chris Weidman, Mark Munoz, Nate Marquardt, and Anderson Silva, those are his losses. So looking at the people that he's lost to, I don't think Colby can beat him, but I am going to go with this is three rounds, correct? I'm going to go decision, Damian Maia. And I think, and I'm going to say he wins and possibly retires after this.
Wow, very interesting take by Pam. I don't know about the retirement bit, but let me re-step here because I forgot to give you guys all the breakdown of the fight. Colby Covington, 29 years of age, 12-1, minus 135. Damian Maia, like I said earlier on, 39 years of age, 25-7 at a plus 115. Marco from Waco, Texas, I'm going to throw this one to you. Who do you got, Derek Brunson or Lyoto, the Dragon, Machida?
No, Colby
Covington and Damian Maia?
Oh, geez. Listen, I've got the wrong page pulled up. My apologies. Let me redo that. Let's count down to 3, 2, 1. Marco, who you got? Damian Maia versus Colby the Chaos Covington.
Okay, it's pretty interesting that Covington is actually the favorite for this fight, man. I mean, we saw what Maia did to 7 straight opponents before she ran into the most boring title fight ever with Tyron Woodley, where he couldn't put Tyron Woodley down, and then, you know, Tyron just decided to counterpunch and pedal party his way to a win. If you are a smart fighter and you got a smart cam, I think Colby Covington is, even though his nickname is Chaos, he is a smart fighter. He'll take a look at that Tyron Woodley fight, and he got the blueprint to beat Damian Maia. When you get aggressive with Damian Maia, he take advantage of that, and he'll take you down or he'll drag you down, and then he becomes a human backpack. Covington got the wrestling to counteract that, and if he's smart, he's going to sit behind his jab and outpoint Damian Maia to a decision. It all depends on what kind of a fight Covington want to establish. If he plays smart, he will win this fight. If he doesn't, he gets overzealous, then we have a Maia that becomes the human backpack and he'll lose it. I'm riding with the jump buck on this one because even though Damian Maia should win this fight, I think that everybody got their run. You know, Brendan Schaub always says that everybody got their run, and Damian Maia's run just came, that 7-5 winning streak, and then he lost. And we saw how to beat Damian Maia. But I don't go show to everybody. Don't let him take you down. Don't give him the space. Eventually, you know, he's gonna run to your punches, get frustrated, and start just flopping around. So just for that reason, because I'm gonna ride with the jump buck, we actually need new blood on the welterweight division. I'm riding with Colby to with a straight 30-27 unanimous decision.
Wow, that's very interesting, Marco, because I kind of disagree with the fact that it's going to be a decision, and we'll get Tony to finish this round off. I'll go right now. I think it's kind of the same thing we just saw last weekend. We're going to have the younger fighter coming up. He's going to be very big and powerful, and as we, like you said, Marco, saw from his Damian Maia's last fight, you just don't let him take you down. And, of course, Colby Covington is a very powerful wrestler. I don't know if he's going to take it down there and risk having Maia get his back, like you said, the Jansport that he is, Damian Maia. I'm going to take Colby Covington as well, as much as it pains me to do. I think I'm going to take him by second round, TKO or KO. Where Damian Maia is at 39. I don't know if this is, you know, where Damian comes out and he looks old. So I'm going to take Colby Covington in this one. And I'm going to throw to you, DJ Tony. The DJ not in the PJs. Do you have,
you know what,
Colby Covington, or do you, you have Damian Maia?
It's going to sound like I'm being contrarian because I was the only one to pick Lyoto Machida, and I think we're losing sight of maybe we're just choosing against age on this, but I'm really shocked that all of you guys picked Brunson. I got to be honest with you on this one. I think Pam is on the right track in choosing Maia. I think Marco and you choosing Colby, I don't see it, guys. Listen, we talk about height. Colby Covington is maybe 5'11", and maybe he's 5'11 with shoes. Damian Maia is a legit 6 feet tall, if not a little a little taller, and I think maybe his honestly, I think he's probably about 6'1". If you look at Colby Covington, guys, on this 8-run streak prior to joining, of course, the UFC, he had actually 4 wins, 3 wins in the UFC, 1, 2, 3, and then lost, obviously, to Warley Alves, who's a pretty good Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy, but not really top tier. Then he wins 4 straight, beating the likes of Max Griffin, who we're going to see soon on a card, Brian Barberina, Dun Young Kim, and not the good one. I think we're forgetting who Damian Maia is, guys. And I think we look at his age and we say, okay, boy, all right. But Damian Maia is fighting now at 170. He may look like he's 39, all of 39, dad bod and all. But I think you guys are forgetting, guys, that his game is not a straight up, and brawl game. And if you look at who he's beaten, the Ryan LaFlairs, Neil Magny, Gunnar Nelson, Matt Brown, a good still Matt Brown, and he finished him off in the third round. Carlos Condit, the killer. Jorge Masvidal, who even though he lost a split decision, Masvidal is actually fighting Wonderboy, one of the top, right? He's still fighting the top and lost via unanimous decision via Tyron Woodley. Guys, I don't see how this goes all three rounds. I think Damian Maia is going to finish him. I think he's going to finish him at home. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. I think he's going to finish him early in the late first or early second round. I'm going Damian Maia all day long, guys. And twice on Sunday, I'm going Damian Maia via decision. Let's just pick early second round submission.
Yeah, no, Tony, I think that what you're saying is totally justified. I mean, that's a thing that you have to worry about with Damian Maia. But I think with Colby Covington's ground game, that's what we're kind of trying to say here, that Colby is very talented on the ground. Again, we've seen Damian Maia take the back of many a different person. And you know how I love the backpack, right, DJ Tony? You know how I love the backpack. So it's just a feeling. I mean, I don't know if Colby Covington is going to get out of Brazil alive because he said some very inflammatory things about Brazil. So anyway, let's kind of move on if we can, Tony. And I'm going to throw back to you because now I see that I've been doing the choices of people here wrong. So let's start with you on this next fight. The next one we go to is the middleweight division. Francisco Trinaldo, I can say that 3 times fast, against my boy, Jim Miller. Tony, I throw to you, who have you got here in this lightweight fight?
Here's what I got. I got a battle of the 39-year-olds, right? Lyoto Machida, 39, Damian Maia, 39, and Francisco Trinaldo, I call him Frankie, by the way, all of 39, maybe 49. Because as Pammy and I like to say, we need to see that birth certificate just to make sure that he is, in fact, 39. Because he looked all of 39 plus some. Francisco Trinaldo, guys, when you look at him, I think you were talking about what we've seen the best of. Like Marco was saying, you know, everybody has their run, like Big Brown was saying. I think Francisco Trinaldo is one of those. Because if you look, his record's really deceiving. He's 21-5. And he had actually 7-fight win streak, right? Lost to Chiesa via decision, and he very much is a decisionator. Lost, luckily, to Paul Felder via a TKO doctor stoppage because of the blood, et cetera. And lost to Kevin Lee. Jim Miller is a gritty, gritty fighter, guys. Nothing scary about Miller. There's no doubt about it. He's lost 10 fights, and you know what I say about double-digit fights. If you look at his record in the last 10, his record's worse than Francisco Trinaldo, but if you look at the quality of fighters that he's fought, they're a little better. I think it's going to be Jim Miller. I think it's going to be Jim Miller via decision. And you know what, guys? I'm going to shock you here. I'm switching. I'm actually going Francisco Trinaldo via split decision where Jim Miller really wins it in the U.S. but loses it in Brazil. So I'm going, I'm switching it up on the fly, just like Prados. I'm going Trinaldo via a very controversial split decision.
Wow. Very controversial split decision due to, of course, a little home rubbing. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. I'm going to go next, and we'll let the stars of the show finish this fight off. I'm going to disagree with you. I have to roll with my boy. You know, I'm on team Jim Miller. I think Jim will get this done, even though he's in hostile territories. I do believe he's going to get this done. He's going to get it done by second round submission. Let's throw to Pam. We've got you here, Francisco Trinaldo or Jim Miller.
It's Miller time.
It's Miller time.
You know what?
For show.
I think the last fight, the last time, you look at Francisco Trinaldo and it's like, oh man, this is some old dude, you know, he's going to get his ass beat. And I think he shocked a lot of people because he is really very good. But, you know, Jim Miller just, he's coming off a loss to Pettis in July. I was there. But you know what? The Pettis that he lost to was almost perfect. Oh my gosh, this was like the new and improved Anthony Pettis. It was a very, very, very close fight. So, you know, he's won four out of his last 10 fights, but I think he's got still some huevos left in him. And I'm going to, you know what, I'm taking this one. I am actually doing a first round submission on this one for me. He's got the cardio. He's got the wrestling. He has the submissions. But keep in mind, Trinaldo is a kickboxing champ, a black belt in kickboxing, and a brown belt in jiu-jitsu. But Jim Miller is a black belt. And, you know, and I just think it's Miller time. First round subs. Boom.
I have a quick story about Miller time. I used to work at a nightclub, as most of you know. And one of the bartenders was a big Reggie Miller fan, and he used to always go, "It's Miller time." I know that's not interesting.
Chuck
Let's
away.
Move right on to.
I was just going to say that sounds like Chuck away.
you're gonna realize that a lot of my stuff sounds the same. Let's move on to the star of the show, the voice of reason, probably on this one. Go ahead, Mark. Who do you got, Francisco Trinaldo or Jim Miller?
Ah, man. I cannot pick Francisco Trinaldo festival because, you know, he's 39. And I'm really a big fan of Jim Miller, Luda. For even in his losses, he always put up a fight. And over the years, he had developed a very good striking game, you know. I mean, as you all know, he's a jiu-jitsu second to none. He's a really good scrambler. And at one point, he was a perennial contender, man. I mean,
yeah,
everybody got the chase of, you know, Jim Miller probably getting a title shot until, you know, his run ended. But I don't think Jim Miller is going to lose to Trinaldo. He does not lose to people that he's not supposed to lose. And I think Jim Miller is a better fighter than Trinaldo. He's a little younger. And he is always going to give you an honest fight. I'm picking up Jim Miller. You know, I had to ride with the U.S. here. Like I said, I think he's the better fighter. He has fought the more quality fighters. I have lost to better quality fighters. I want to pick Jim Miller, and I want to pick Jim Miller via submission on the second round, man, just because I think his ground game is better. It's going to be superior. And he finds ways to put people on the mat. And once he gets you on the mat, you know, he goes to work. And I think he's going to put some work on Francisco Trinaldo and submit him via rear naked shot on the second round.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's a very good pick, Marco. I agree 100% with you on that one. I'm going to keep you on the line right now because I'm going to throw to you to our next fight. We go to the bantamweight division. We have Marlon Chito Vera at the ripe young age of 24. He's 10-3-1. The odds on him, he's the favorite. He's at plus 360. And, of course, he's going up against John Lineker with the not-so-ripe the age of 27, and he had a record of 29-8, and is a minus, minus 540, so he is a large favorite as far as I can see. Marco, do you agree with that? Is he a large favorite, or is it fairly close?
Dude, I am a good, I'm a fan of Chito Vera, man. I mean, he just grow leaps and bounds, and against Lineker, like, ouch. I'm concerned about his health. We all know what Lineker wants to do. He wants to pinch you against the cage and throw those hooks from hell. and knock your head into the rafters. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I mean, we saw the blueprint to beat Lineker, Dillashaw choice, like, perfectly, you know. You don't let him sit on his punches and, you know, you outstrike him. But Chito Vera is not the same quality, the same level that freaking Dillashaw is, man. I mean, Dillashaw is a former champion. He's going to fight for the championship next week. So I'm riding with Lineker, man. Lineker is a tank. He got the punching power, and he just keep going forward like a zombie until he gets you. And I think he's going to be too much for Chito Vera. He's not a better athlete than Lineker is. He's fast, you know. He's a really good fighter. But I think he's going to be too much. Lineker is going to knock this kid out late on the first by a devastating knockout. So give me Lineker on this one.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Hands of stone comes through from Marco. Pam, let's go to you. Who you got here? John Lineker at number 5 in the so-called UFC rankings versus surging Marlon Chito Vera.
Chito Vera. Well, you know what? Does Lineker not have weight issues? Has he not had them before?
Yeah, you are correct.
Okay. Yeah, so, you know what? I'm just going to make it short and sweet. I'm going for Marlon Vera for the, I guess, upset. And, you know, he's 5'8 versus 5'2. He's got a 70-inch reach versus a 67-inch reach. And even his leg reach is 40 inches, and Lineker is 36. You know, not to say that Lineker, I mean, he's ranked number 5. He's really good. Little tank. But I don't know, man. I'm going for Marlon Vera. He's got great jiu-jitsu wrestling. He's on a 3-win streak, and his only losses have been by decision. So I'm taking him the second round sub. He's got those long spider arms and spider legs, and I'm taking him the second round sub.
Yeah, as
thank you very much.
MMA Fighting would say that he'd say, very good pick. Very good pick indeed, Pammy. Listen, I'm going to go next. I'm going to agree with you. I think that this rising star of in Marlon Vera is very, very interesting to watch. Of course, Marco pointed out John Lineker may, you know, have some damage on his hands. Of course, always a danger of throwing those heavy hands, but I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go with second round submission. Pam, and I think that you're right on this one. I think the rising star is going to catch it. And let's throw to Tony. DJ Tony, what you got here, John Lineker or Marlon Vera in this bantamweight bout?
You know what? Usually Marco and I are on the sort of same line of thinking here, guys. It's odd how you and I and Tammy have really gone in different decisions on this, no pun intended. But I agree with Marco. If you look at Marlon Vera, to me, he's very reminiscent, guys, in the style of Rob Font and Michael McDonald. Why don't we steal away? Wrong song, right? What's the Michael McDonald song? Never mind. The Doobie Brothers. You know what? I'll give myself crickets on that one later. But if you look at it, it's very, very similar, guys. Lineker fights long, guys, and by meaning to fight long, he just throws his entire thing. I agree if it goes 3 rounds, it's certainly going to go to Marlon Vera. Lineker is a very tiny man, but once he gets in Vera's space, I think his hands of stone are going to find a place. I'm going with Marco on this one, guys. I'm going with Lineker, and I'm going with Lineker mid-second round TKO KO.
Wow. All right. Well, there you have it, folks. That's our picks for UFC Fight Night. Bronson versus Machida. Now, we are going into the most important segment of the night. And DJ Tony, I'm going to keep you on the line because we are going to go into our spotlight fights of the night. DJ Tony, who you got? And if anybody is not familiar with our spotlight of the night segment, it has to be a fight that is not on the main card or one that we haven't covered on the main card, because there's one that might be very interesting that we haven't covered. DJ Tony, what is your spotlighting fight of the night?
You know what, guys? I'm actually going to save my real spotlight fight of the night for Pammy, because I know what she's going to go with. But I'm going to, you know what, who I like? Nothing more than I like than someone by the nickname of Shoeface. I'm going with Antonio Carlos Jr. defeating Jack Marshman. I think this fight is a tailor-made Brazilian fight where this guy just, they're setting him up to win. ATT product, guys. I think Shoeface destroys Jack Marshman, and I think he does it relatively early, probably early second round KO.
I don't know why they call him Shoeface. I mean, his face doesn't look like a shoe, really, does it, Pam? I mean, he's not bad looking.
He's a nice TKO. I meant submission, by the way, so never mind.
All right, so Pam, let's throw to you for the most important segment of the night, spotlight fight of the night. Pam, what you?
Well, that was actually my fight that I had picked too. It was what is he called? Cara de Zapato. What does he call himself? Yeah, Cara de Zapato, right? And that was the fight that I had picked. But I don't know. I mean, I've seen Carlos Jr., but I've seen both of these guys fight. But he has no KO power. Antonio Carlos Jr., Cara de Zapato. I'm looking at Marshman to win this one. He was on a 7-win streak before his loss to Thiago Santos. So, and then he had another win after that. So I'm looking at Marshman.
Do you want to give us a round of method by any chance?
Let me see. I am going to go. Let me see. I'm going to look at my handy dandy paper here. Because Marshman has KO power where Antonio does not. I
Who the fuck
say
is that
it's going to be by KO, second round KO.
All right. Thank you, Pam, very much. Let's move to the star of the show, Marco from Waco. What you got? Spotlight. Fight of the night.
I got Vicente Luque versus Nico Price. Just because of the feature part of the prelims. And I'm high on this kid, Vicente Luque, man. He's a good striker. And I tried to groom him for the Brazilian audience. And, you know, and I'm interested to see what Vicente Luque got. Nico Price is a serviceable guy. He's the underdog, but he still got a chance of winning the fight. But I don't think he will. I think Vicente Luque is going to, you know, get a showcase in front of his home audience. So that is my spotlight for tonight.
Yeah, and as I said last time, Nico Price looks like a serial killer, so anytime he comes up against somebody, watch out for him. Thank you very much. I'm going to take the curtain jerker on the Fight Network and UFC Fight Pass prelims. Zaleques dos Santos versus Max Griffin, mainly because I'm excited to see Max Griffin back out again and see what he's got. All right, guys, listen, that wraps up UFC Fight Night, Machida versus Bronson. We are swiftly running out of time, but Marco, I want to get into some issues, some pertinent MMA information and news and notes that we have this week. I'm going to throw to you quickly because I think we've got about 15 minutes left in this show. Just to close out some of the things that happened last week, I mean, Darren Till is still very, very on the front page of the news. The quick question that I have for everybody, and you all can listen to this, I'll throw to Marco first. Marco, are we believing the hype that Darren Till is a star? Did his win over the cowboy, Donald Cerrone, do it for you? Is he, as Dana White says, the future of the welterweight division?
Well, first of all, the kid is 24 years old. He got the look, he got the skill. He's 15-0-1, so he's undefeated. Knockout power, he just knocked out Cowboy Cerrone. I told you guys, I got a gut feeling that Cerrone was going to get the best. Exactly what happened. But the part that I love the most is that the corner of Mike Perry was gold. And I'm sorry, Santiago Montenegro, but I want you to get sick, catch the flu, tweak a knee, because I don't want to see you fight Mike Perry. I want to see Mike Perry fight there until. They were already selling the fight up there in freaking Poland, and that was awesome. Love it. These two guys, the future of the welterweight division of the UFC, and I've seen Mike Perry and Darren Till are going to fight more than once during their career because they're both young. they're going to see at least themselves at least three times before their careers are over. The Red Devils got all the intangibles, man. I mean, the guy is from Liverpool, so, you know, check the UK portion, the new stuff for the UK when Michael Bisping retired. They speak perfect Portuguese because he lived in Brazil for 3 years. So check that car because he can carry that audience with him. The guy got the look and the skill. Yeah, I know the bandwagon, man. Now, let's not put him on Fight Pass anymore. Let's put him on some Fox cars or, you know, headlining a UFC Fight Night. And then after that, let him graduate to pay-per-views. But I think we got something with this kid. You know, the same way Robert Whittaker became a star overnight when he went on his run. And the Ron Till can talk a little bit too. You know, he got some smack talk on his vernacular with that cool Liverpool accent too. So let's start calling him the fifth Beatle. You know, shout out to Ben Folds on the Comment Event podcast for that one.
Absolutely. So, Pam, Marco pretty much mm-hmm. answered the first question and the second question at the same time. So I'm going to give them both to you in an attempt to expedite these questions, because I've got a number of topics that I want to get to. So first question, is Darren Till a star? Is he the future of the division? Are you putting your money on him? Secondly, do you want to see that Till?
I don't know if he's the future of the division, but you know, he's up and coming. But I told Marco once that I told you, but I told you all too. What's Cowboy's kryptonite? Boxing? What happened? You got fucking outboxed. You know, and the thing with Cerrone too is like, take some time off. You know, this thing of, you know, taking a fight every other month, because I had read an article, you know, because I'm going to 219, and so I'm constantly checking out who's going to be on the fight card. And he had said something about him being on the fight card at 219, but he didn't have an opponent yet. So I'm glad they put him on a 6-month suspension. But I do think that he's up and coming. I don't know if he is the face of, but I don't want to know if I want to see Mike Perry the face of with that rooster hairdo and that, you know what, that jacket. I was laughing because it was like when you break up with somebody and you get pissed off and you throw bleach on their clothes. That's the look he was going for, I think. But I think he's up and coming. I think he's exciting. I think he's fun to watch. So good for him. You know, good for him.
Yeah, when you meet a Vatos Locos, you put bleach on their clothes. Is that what it is?
Oh no, I didn't bleach my Vatos Locos. You know, those Pendletons are expensive.
All right. That is the extent of, I'm learning Spanish. Did you know that I'm learning Spanish on this show?
I'm glad.
About voodoo.
Oh, even better.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
No, you have to learn about, since we're close to Halloween, La Santa Muerte is who you have to study up on now. I'm going to give you all assignments, and every week we meet up, you're going to tell me what you know.
All right.
Don't be scared, homie.
I also have to learn about spilling cats, and that's another story for another day. Let's move to DJ Tony. Same two questions to you. Darren Till, is he the next star of the welterweight division, and do you want to see Till versus Perry next?
You know what? I do want to see Till versus Perry next. I'll jump to the second part just because I think there's a heat. The problem is when you line two stars up, and we've seen this post Joe Silva, they line up two people that are headed in the same direction and they just kill someone's momentum. So actually, no, I don't want to see that fight because of that. I will say this about Darren Till. I had seen him fight twice before, and just like the one and only GSP says, I'm not impressed by your performance.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
But here's the thing, guys. He is big, and he looked in a different weight class than Cerrone. I do think that there are times that Cerrone, and Marco was right. I mean, maybe it was lack of sleep. Maybe it was just that he just wasn't into it. Maybe Pam's right. The fact that he needed to take time off. Pam said this on Sunday. This was not the same Cerrone, but I also do think he is declining a bit. I do think he still has quite a few number of fights in him, but I do think You know, they say I didn't get to this on Sunday, guys. Now move quickly on this. They say that every fight is like 10 car accidents. I think Cerrone has been in a lot of car accidents, and I think it's starting to take effect. But I do think Proteus, Darren Till, is the real deal.
I have to agree with a lot of what you just said there, DJ Tony. I think Darren Till could be, as I said on last week's Smack My Picks Up, the future star of the UK scene and the UK MMA scene. But again, I'm gonna pump the brakes just a bit. I mean, he showed out good against, as you mentioned, DJ Tony, maybe a distracted or Donald Cerrone that thinks he's still interested in fighting, but is definitely embedded. And if you listen to John Morgan's interview on the road show with Cowboy Cerrone, you know, he was out at the casino late at night. He wasn't sleeping well. I mean, yeah, all of those things factor in, but maybe Donald Cerrone is in another place and maybe he's making money somewhere else. And, you know, legends, they sometimes have to, you know, leave the sport. And that's it's okay with me. I don't want to see the Till versus Perry fight next. I want to see what Perry has against Ponzinibbio. I know if you don't do that fight right now, the Till versus Perry fight, you lose it maybe, because if Perry loses to a very tough Ponzinibbio, but it's unfair to Ponzinibbio to pull that fight apart since it was Till was and Perry were supposed to fight, and then they gave him Ponzinibbio. So I don't know, man. I just don't think that should happen next. Maybe let's see what happens, because the hype show is really starting to show that it's got, you know, no real good foundation. The hype show is starting to come to an end, I think, and you got to really prove that you can win fights. All right, let's move on to the next topic. I wanted to just... Yeah, go ahead, please.
No, I wanted to point out real quick that Cerrone, historically speaking, had always lost to southpaws, Anthony Pettis, Rafael Dos Anjos, Darren Till, Robbie Lawler.
You mentioned that last Wednesday, too.
Masvidal is a Swiss stand fighter, so it's Nate Diaz. So every single time he faces a southpaw, he gets beat, and he gets beat badly, man. So maybe it's not the fact that Cerrone did not show up. Is the fact that southpaws have always given trouble and he struggles against them. So maybe it's the matchup that was the problem, and it wasn't Cerrone himself. So I'm just pointing that out.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, it was like Till was fighting his younger brother, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, with another fight. It really is a time for another division, I think, guys. I think we're really just starting to see that. So, but I don't want to focus on that right now, guys. We need to get moving because there's a couple more topics that I need to get to, and we've got 8 minutes left. I'm going to
go ahead. Just go quickly. Ahead. Go ahead.
Karolina Kowalkiewicz with a great win from last week. That's all we'll say about that. Because the big news, unfortunately, is a fighter that did not fight on this particular card, that just attended it, that apparently is the biggest pay-per-view draw. And Marco, I'm going to throw to you because I know you've probably got something to say about this. Conor McGregor was caught on film with audio. I mean, you could hear it plain and clear using a homophobic slur. With regards to Andre Touchy Feely, let's get your thoughts on this. I mean, do we need to keep seeing this in the sport? I mean, we've seen it many, many times in our sport, and nothing seems to happen. So, is it time to take a stand?
Context, man. Okay, context. Is first of all, let's see the actions of the man, and then the words. Conor McGregor puts himself up there on Ireland, a conservative Catholic country, and supported the referendum for gay marriage in Ireland. The guy comes from a working class family on an ultra-conservative Catholic country, man. And I don't know if you guys got that perspective. I grew up in a uber-Catholic country in Chile. It's a completely different way of thinking. Yeah, the guy might have some vernacular left on his lexicon that is inappropriate. I wouldn't catch myself saying that word now that I am 46 years old. But me, at 25, I throw that word around a lot. And it's not because I got hate in my heart, it's just because I was ignorant. Now, That he said it, yeah, but he thought he was in a private conversation with his buddy that just lost a fight, you know? And in places like Europe, even though here in America, we get all like up in arms about the term, you know? In Europe, it's widely used, man. And I was stationed in Germany, and I was around a lot of European countries. Not that much of a big deal, if you want me to tell you the truth. So you got to look at the cultural perspective first. Just because, you know, the guy makes money in America, he still lives in Ireland. He still lives in Europe. You know, they got a different way of thinking up there. Not a good PR move, but then again, the guy used his personal profile to support gay marriage on a conservative Catholic country in Ireland, dude. You know how difficult that is? You know, especially the Catholic Church in Ireland. It's not like the Catholic Church in the United States. The Catholic Church in Ireland is like a powerful political institution. And he went against that. He went against all the conventional wisdom and the conventional norms, and he supported that. But for me, that got more value than him getting caught saying, you know, faggot on a conversation that he was having with his buddy. So let's put some context into it. Wrong to say it, but I don't think the guy got hate on his heart because his actions show me more than his words. That's what I have to say about that.
All right, Pam, I'm gonna, in the vein of speeding this up, what do you think about what Marco just said? And of course, what do you think about what Conor McGregor said?
Well, you know,
incompetence, so to speak.
Well, you can't be that Catholic if you're living with your girlfriend and having a baby out of wedlock. So, saying that, you know. I just think that somebody had said, well, it was a private conversation. Nothing that he does is private. Everything that he does is a spectacle because he's an egomaniac. So that's what I think. Because, you know, when they're fighting, you know, and he has to make that entrance. So, you know, and then he has to, you know, sit there being the fourth corner man, and they have to stop the fight and tell him to shut the fuck up. You know, he's an attention whore. So he does everything for a purpose. So, you know, hypocrite. You know, you can be a hypocrite. Yeah, you stand up for gay rights, but then, you know, bash a person. So, you know, that's just him. Are they going to do anything about it? Probably not, because Bisping said the same thing, and then when you had, what's his name, calling Tony a maricón, you know, nothing happened. So they're not going to do it. Nothing's going to happen. You know, they're going to flap
okay,
on the
well,
wrist. So don't say that.
It's all sounding very down and out to me. What is your opinion on this? Did you happen to see the clip, or do you have an opinion on this at all?
Yeah, you actually sent it to me, and I saw it about three or four different times. Listen, saying that it's a private conversation makes it even worse, right? Because that means that you
right.
use that vocabulary on a regular basis. That's not an excuse. That's actually evidence that you say it on a regular basis. That said, a cigarette in England and also in Ireland is called, unfortunately, F-A-G, right? That's a vernacular court. So, you know, we're in a very, very macho sport. It's probably said 1,000 times. Have I ever said that word? Yeah. It's certainly like Marco said when I was much younger. But here's the thing. If you just take this particular thing in context, then you could say, you know what, isolated a thing probably will never happen again, et cetera. But we're forgetting that back in my days, during the DJ days, probably the alternative lifestyle was a lot more prevalent there in England, and I know that he's Irish, but there in Great Britain than it was in the U.S. And listen, this is someone that born and raised in San Francisco, right? But that said, he said other things, Prados. He has said other things that go to that line. Do I think there's hate in his heart? No. Do I think he says things without thinking? Absolutely. And someone in his position needs to really rethink, like Marco said, his lexicon.
Yeah, I think, yeah, if the word is in his lexicon, then yeah, it's something that needs to be rethought out, yeah. Just because again, he, like Pam said, it's everything he says, everything he does has been filmed on camera. He's got people following him around. He's got paparazzi following him around. He knows what's going down. Again, he used it in the appropriate term. I mean, if you're going to use that word, that's how you use it, right? And he was implying it in that way. We've all used it. We're not millennials. We've all used that word, and we've used it in that context. And it needs to be removed from everybody's mouth, especially if you're on TV, especially if you're the biggest star. So I'm getting riled up, and I got a brand new microphone in front of me. I don't want to yell too much. If you're the biggest star in MMA, or if you're the UFC president, perhaps you shouldn't use that word. Moving right along. Last topic of the night. Something that is very, very much on everybody's mind right now, because the next pay-per-view is coming up, of course. UFC 217, Tony, is coming up. I'm going to start with you, so come back. I'm going to start with you. UFC 217 numbers are not looking very good, as you mentioned on Sunday. The show is not seeming to sell very well. And, of course, you and Pam had a quick conversation about this on Sunday. But we've also learned coming out this week, I believe it was from the Wrestling Observer, that the UFC has run a popularity contest on their new pay-per-view purchasers. And, of course, a lot of them don't know who GSP is. I mean, we were surprised as very, very hardcore fans to hear that, you know, GSP isn't – nobody knows who he is right now. He's been off for 4 years. And I think Marco was saying this a couple of weeks ago. So UFC 17 isn't selling well in Madison Square Garden. Apparently GSP's popularity is down. And – Is the UFC doing enough to push George St. Pierre in this fight? Go.
All right, I'm going to try to fly on this, guys. We've heard this before. Think about it this way. The fights are usually Saturday, right? Then Sunday is usually a down day in media. Most people react to it on Monday. Then you have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to effectively try to promote a new card, get the weigh-ins in, and get the hype. That's not enough time, guys. I keep telling you guys that there were way too many shows. I think that they should bump up, literally, and maybe have a pay-per-view once every 2 months, maybe once every quarter. Raise the price of those. Instead of them making them $50, make them $100. I guarantee you the more people would make them, they would make the same amount of money, because if you have a pay-per-view that's only doing 100,000 buys, that's not making the same amount of money than a pay-per-view that's maybe once every 2 months or once every 3 months that's doing, you know, 500,000 buys. So I don't think it has anything to do with GSP. If you look at that card, GSP, Bisping, Garbrandt, Dillashaw, JJ, Namajunas, Thompson, Masvidal, and that's a damn good card. And it's a shame that it hasn't moved, but I don't think they have enough time to promote it.
Yeah, good points. Pam, you want to weigh in on this subject, please?
Yeah, I think that has to be wrong, because unless you're 12, everyone knows who GSP is.
Unless
so I think that when they did that poll or whatever they did, they're interviewing or asking a lot of the casual fans who just started watching about 3 years ago. Because if you're a diehard fan like we are, you know who GSP is. Come on. Don't be as stupid. Yeah, you know?
No,
I mean, you could
true,
ask them, who's your favorite? You know, Conor McGregor, they know who that is. Who's Ronda Rousey? They know who that is. You know, you ask them, Lyoto Machida, I've never heard of him. You know, so a lot of these fighters that have been around in our lifetime, you know, we all know who they are, but it's a lot of the newbies that they just see what's in front of their face, and they don't want to look at any of the old fights to see how it really was, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But the big explosion, if you look at something that Luke Thomas put out, he put out the Google numbers or the Twitter numbers for searches for GSP and Conor McGregor. Thank you, Tony. And Ronda Rousey. And there was a huge spike. So you have to take that into account. Again, we are seeing, as I mentioned, we are seeing the fact that the hardcore fans are not buying all of this stupid WWE crap that they're trying to sell us. And of course, if you're relying on people who don't watch the sport regularly, this is the kind of S you're going to get. You're going to get people who are uneducated by, this is one of the greatest in the sport. We heard on Luke Thomas's show, sorry to go on a rant real quick. We heard on Luke Thomas's show that Marissa, you know, came in to the sport. She's his, we all know Marissa. She's, you know,
yeah,
embroiled in MMA junkie. Yeah. Okay. 2010. Exactly. She came into the sport in 2010 and she said that, you know, anything before that, basically, she's not, you know, Randy Couture means nothing to her. So I can see that, you know, some people wouldn't recognize GSP. But again, Marco, I'm going to throw it to you because you're the voice of reason. You're the star of the show. This is something that, do we need to be worried about this, or do you think it's going to even itself out? It's just going to come out in the wash, like Tony said.
Now, I'm not ready to push the panic button because on the St. Luke Thomas show, they find out that the ticket master numbers is at 85% of the arenas already sold out. So it's like it's always a forward that you catch up on the last week of the fight. But just because they didn't sell it out immediately, it doesn't mean that the venue is not going to be sold out. The tickets are expensive as hell too, man. $1,200 for the ringside tickets and you know, it was $300 to get into the door. They are down to $200. So they'll be able to put at least 16,000 people there. And as you sure, they already sold out 85% of the venue. So I'm not too concerned with that. What I'm really interested to see is how the Canadian market, that is your market, produce, is going to react to the return of GSP. Because a lot of GSP success did not come out exclusively from the North American market. It's because he carried the second biggest pay-per-view, you know, in North America region, that is Canada. Canada was a big supporter of GSP. Most of his numbers were bolstered by the Canadian fans. You know, Canada is extremely loyal, so you can guarantee that he will carry 300 or 400,000 pay-per-views from Canada alone, and then the rest will come from the United States. That is what I'm interested in. If it does below 500,000, I'll be worried. Anything above 500,000 pay-per-views, I'll be okay. So he'll be okay, you know, because he's reintroducing himself after 4 years. It's a long time, you know. You still got to reintroduce somebody after 4 years. I thought it was a better situation last year when he wanted to fight in that Toronto card last October. This return is 1 year too late, but I'm not ready to push the panic button just yet. GSP, for the hardcores are going to be there. You know, me, you, all of you guys, and people that still remember, they're going to be there. So that is, for me, that is guaranteed at least 300,000 pay-per-views. That is what I'm looking at the Canadian market. If the Canadian market reacts to GSP's return, it's going to be fine, dude. And I don't know if you saw the video of him going to that hockey game in Canada. I mean, he got a roaring welcome. The whole stadium exploded when they introduced GSP to that Canadian crowd. So let's wait and see. I'm not ready to push up any button yet. I think the pay-per-view is going to do all right. He's probably going to do anything between 650 to 700,000 pay-per-views, and there is a good number on this day and age. So I'm on wait and see mode. I'm not ready to push a jet yet.
Yeah, I think anything over what the 100,000 pay-per-view buys in right now, after the last two pay-per-views that they have been getting, would be an improvement, right? And I think you're right, Marco. I think the Canadian market, if like you said, the Montreal Canadiens hockey game was any indication of how Canada feels about GSP, and I think that it is, because we all know who he is up here. Whether or not you're a millennial... I love that one. I knew it was going to come back to haunt me. whether or not he's a star in the United States of America, he's going to sell up here, man. We're going to watch. We're going to tune in for GSP. He's moving up. It's something that we've been waiting for a long period of time, for him to move up in weight class. I think it's intriguing for us. It may not be intriguing for the American fan, and that's fine. It's okay. We're fine with that. And I think
I got a question for you, brothers.
Okay.
I got a question for you. Since you are in Canada,
What is the temperature in Canada about the return of GSP? Because, you know, in America, you know, we're hearing all these reports that people don't know this and that. I don't believe it. I think the casuals don't know because casuals are like Pam said, they're dummies. But we're the hardcores now, you know, and there is a strong, you know, representation of hardcore here in the United States. But Canadian fans, what is the feeling? What is the media? How is the return of GSP being followed up there in Canada? Is it a big deal? Are people talking about it? Are people, like, excited? You tell me, because that would be a very good barometer of what is going on right now.
Well, I can be honest with you that, of course, they're doing a lot of media here. Look, they went to the Hockey Hall of Fame, and they did a press conference. And they went to the Bell Center, and they had both of them appear. GSP was doing a live rolling session today to promote himself. He was contacting Ariel Helwani to get on to the MMA Hour. I think that the GSP is doing everything he can to promote himself. I don't know how much the UFC is really in behind the promotional machine
question,
of GSP.
My question,
I don't know what the temperature is right now, Marco. It's 2 weeks away. It's 2 weeks away, and of course,
I'm talking
go
about
ahead,
you,
sorry.
You, your friends, people that know about it in Canada, what are they saying? Because I don't care about what the media says, because the media is the media. I'm talking about you, the fan, the people that you know. Are people talking about it?
Well, listen.
I think he needs to come to my house and do some ground and pound.
Oh, ba-doom, boom. Get cue the music. To be honest with you, Aaron Bronstetter is putting out a piece on TSN coming out sometime. He just promoted it on his Twitter that it's coming out soon. Listen, like I said, it's 2 weeks away. It's GSP. We are excited. I don't have a lot of contact with a lot of fight fans. I mean, I know Josh from Tilsonburg is excited. You know, I know that we're all Chasm. He's excited for GSP to come back. We're always excited for our Canadian fans. We're kind of like Brazil in that way, that we will support our Canadian fighters, our Canadian athletes, no matter what. I mean, we were super proud of Ben Johnson when he when he ran the 100 and won, but he just happened to be on more steroids than everybody else, so that got taken away from him. We were very proud of him.
So you're down with GSP?
I'm down with GSP, so let's move on.
Right.
I think it's going
to
be...
Hey, I have one more question on this one subject. Sorry, guys. I'm sorry to crash, but I really have to ask this. How much of this, guys, do you think is the legit fan base, right, the true MMA fan base, saying, you know what, GSP was too great. I don't want to see him come back. How much of that, because to be honest with you, I love GSP. I don't want to see him come back. I want to see him leave as a champion.
No.
I don't think that is. No. I doubt that is, man. No. Everybody wants to see the heroes fighting again.
That's right.
I'm back. In boxing, in MMA, you name it, you always want to see your favorite fighter come back, especially if it was one of your favorite fighters. I am super excited that GSP is coming back, put it that way.
Yeah, I'm super stoked as well. Like, if you didn't agree with his fighting style, it's like he said on Ariel's show on Monday, if you can't get up off your back, you shouldn't be in MMA. Pam, you got a comment on that?
I mean, you know, I liked when he retired and he went out with style, you know. And, you know, his championships, what, 11, 10, 10, 9, I don't know. And I like that. And I missed him when he was gone. I was just so heartbroken because I love GSP. But then when he was gone, I was like, okay, you know, that's how you leave. You go out on top. So I love him, but I don't know if I want to see him fight. You know, I wanted to have my super good memories of GSP walking out and leaving a winner and leaving his legacy. You know, I don't want it's just like Nick Diaz. I love Nick Diaz. I love him, but I think he's done. He's out doing the stuff that he wants to do, and I don't know if I want to see him come back. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I mean, am I going to watch? Yes, I'm going to watch because I love him, but
Do I wish he would have stayed retired? In all truth and honesty, yes.
As I've said previously on this show, I don't think it really matters that GSP is coming back. I think his legacy at 170 is going to be solid. We're going to remember him for everything he did. You know, his great wins against Matt Hughes, his great wins against BJ Penn, his great wins against Johnny Hendricks, even though there was controversy there. His great win, winning his title back against Matt Serra. We're going to remember those things. We're going to remember his dominance. And this is just, it honestly is something that needs to happen for the business. I mean, it's a business move. This fight is a business move for the Empire, who has a new name now, which is very close to Empire, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Endeavor.
I think
you're
somebody
a member of the
Rebel
Alliance and a traitor.
Anyways, guys, we've gone over time. Let's get out of here. Let's do our Twitter follows of the week. Pam, I'm going to start with you. What's your Twitter follow of the week?
Well, my Twitter follow, since we were just talking about him, let's follow George St. Pierre so we'll know who he is. How about that?
Sounds like a plan to me. DJ Tony. DJ Tony, let's throw to you. What's your Twitter follow of the week?
And this is not a jab at anyone, because you know I have become a big Brian Caraway fan. But follow Misha Tate at Misha Tate. And we apologize to Misha Tate. We ran out of time.
Sorry, Misha.
I'm
going to give
local.
A shout out to my boys, of course, if anybody's a longtime listener to the show. And if you're a brand new listener to the show, go back in the archives. We have plenty of shows. We try to do 2 to 3 shows a week. There's lots in the archives. If you want to hear John Gooden talk to me, we've got that. If you want to hear John Morgan on this show, we got that. Anyways, go back in the archives, check it out. We've done lots of shows. We've got lots of people on it, lots of interesting interviews. My Twitter follow of the week is at Coheed. Of course, this week, Sunday or Monday, I believe, they've celebrated their 10th anniversary of No World for Tomorrow. And of course, if you're a longtime listener to this show, you know I love Coheed and Cambria. They're my boys. Follow them. Give them a listen. You might like them. If you don't, that's okay too. Let's throw to the star of the show, Marco from Waco. Bring us out of this show, brother.
Okay, guys. On the spirit of Halloween, I'm going to recommend the Paranormal Podcast with King Harrow, a home of spooky stories, spooky stuff, you know, ghosts, UFOs, monsters. On the spirit of Halloween,
aliens.
Listen. It's been aliens. Very entertaining. Especially
GSP,
you know, he likes aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Follow Pam at Pandora Box. Follow Tony at I Am DJ Tony. Follow Produce at Produce. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow the podcast at Another MMA Cast. Rate and review as Knuckleheads. We need some reviews on iTunes. It helps the podcast. We gotta leave you guys. Catch you guys next week. Enjoy the fights.
All right, DJ Tony, you're gonna have to do this entry, this exit, and just like that. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you very much for dealing with the new setup. We love you all.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers. Fuck your bitch-ass belt, too.
What's up, train by day?
Amp Radio.
Podcast by night. All day.